Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Other sportsbooks just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer. Switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the fan cash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from United Healthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
A happy Tuesday. Welcome into Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. Another great show for you guys today. Jam-packed. We finish up the SEC today. We're looking at the LSU Tigers out of the Southeastern Conference. Also continuing our NFL previews, we look at the Minnesota Vikings today in the NFC North. It's a Tee It Up Tuesday. The FedEx Cup playoffs are beginning in the PGA Tour. We look at the FedEx St. Jude Championship today down in Memphis. And we got Matt Horner join us for Model Making Money before we wrap everything up with our favorite plays for today. As always, as you guys are watching the show, listening to the show, if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, best bets, let us know, especially on LSU football. Make sure you send them in twitch.tv/BetQL or YouTube/Odyssey Sports. And if you miss any part of the show over the next 30 minutes, we got you covered with the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Let's get this thing rolling. Glasses in session. Go to the Glasser guest line. And checking in is former LSU running back Jacob Hester. Give him a follow on X at JacobHester18, host of Off Campus on SiriusXM. Jacob, great having you on the show, man. And last year, that LSU offense was sensational. Jaden Daniels wins the Heisman Trophy. And now the keys to the car are led off to Garrett Nussmeier, who will take over as the quarterback for LSU this season. What can you tell us about Garrett, just watching him in the offseason, watching him in camp? What do you expect out of him this season?
Well, Garrett's like a unicorn, right? Nobody sticks around in college football anymore. A lot of people would have transferred if they were Garrett Nussmeier, because when he's played, he's been really good. Like, even you go back a couple of years ago, he comes in for Max Johnson. Yes, that's how long he's been at LSU. And he goes and he beats an Arkansas team. You look at what he did against Georgia in an SEC championship game a couple of years ago when Jaden goes down, the bowl game against Wisconsin. So normally, a guy, certainly in today's college football, that has played well when he's played and he's not playing and he's not the starter at his school, he goes to another school. But he stuck around. He's waited for this opportunity. We know he's talented. Now, he's not going to be confused for Jaden Daniels. Their skill set is completely different, but he has a very good skill set, and they are kind of molding this offense around his skill set. And so it's expected to be a big year. Look, crazy enough, because there was a lot of graveyard of bad quarterback play for LSU, but now you look up, you've had Joe Burrow, you've had Jaden Daniels, you've had two Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks. And so the level of play needs to be raised and needs to continue to be at the same level. You have the number one high school recruit committed to you at the quarterback position. And so it's kind of become like a quarterback factory, like we've seen from Oklahoma and others in recent memory. And so the expectation is going to be incredibly high for Nussmeier, but I think he's ready for the challenge.
I mean, you mentioned all the great quarterbacks that they've had. They've obviously had some great receivers as well. Last year was no different with Brian Thomas, Malik Nabers, who went in the top 10 of the NFL draft. What can you tell us about the skill position unit this year for LSU? Because not only do they have to replace the Heisman Trophy winner, Jacob, they also got to replace some of those skill guys as well.
Yeah, they have to replace who I thought the best receiver in the country was last year in Malik Nabers, and Brian Thomas Jr. wasn't that far off. In fact, Brian Thomas Jr. had more touchdown catches than anybody in college football. And again, you have to kind of lean on you being LSU and you having, you know, this history of having Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry and Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase and the two guys that we're mentioning here, Malik and Brian Thomas Jr. Like, that is a position that you've recruited incredibly well. And they're going to be counting on a Kyren Lacy, who had a little bit over 500 yards receiving a year ago, to take that 500 and make it 1,500. They're going to be counting on C.J. Daniels, who had 1,000 at Liberty a year ago, and make it a 1,200-type receiving year for him. And if you're looking for a name that hasn't really been on the field just yet, look at Chris Hilton. He is a track speed kind of guy. He's the guy that's going to take the top off the defense. They're going to count on those three guys. And then you've got Tre'Davious Green. He plays the tight end position. He's also going to play for LSU basketball. I mean, he is every bit of 6'6". He's listed as a tight end. He's not really going to be a Y tight end. It's going to be more of an F tight end where he lines up in the slot. He kind of lines up off the ball. But he could put himself into that conversation of really being maybe the third leading receiver on this team. And so they've got guys, they've got candidates, but right, they got to go out there and they've got to do it. So Kyren Lacy, C.J. Daniels, Chris Hilton, Tre'Davious Green, that's where you have to make up for those two players that you lost. It's probably going to take all four to make up for those two, and that's what LSU is going to have to do.
Yeah, they got to replace all that production on offense last year. But, Jacob, really the difference for LSU this upcoming season, you figure the offense is going to be good. It's been really good under Brian Kelly the first 2 years. But, man, that defense was really disappointing last year. They bring in a new defensive coordinator. They still got Harold Perkins there as a centerpiece. What do you expect from the defense this year? And what have they been talking about to make sure that they're a lot better on that side of the ball this year?
I think disappointing is about the nicest way that you possibly could say what LSU's defense was a year ago. They were horrid. I mean, they were 104th in total defense. They were even worse in pass defense. I think they were 117th in the country. In a place that has a real claim to being DBU, it hasn't been that lately. And for whatever reason, there was a giant disconnect with Matt House, the defensive coordinator, and his players. There was so many busted coverages. There were so many missed assignments. There was a defensive line that was playing a yard off the ball before it was snapped, and they were getting pushed into the backfield. It was just a lot of bad. So you go and you get Blake Baker from Mizzou. Remember how bad the Missouri defense was before Blake Baker got there? And he takes over a defense. He gets him in the top 35 both years that he's there. So a quick turnaround, and that's what you have to hope for if you're LSU. Now, there is not a lot of depth on the defensive line. There's not a lot of depth at the corner position. They have to stay healthy for them to be a college football playoff team, because I do think the offense has that. They are a college football playoff team kind of offense. They are going to score points, but you have to stay healthy, I think, because you're so thin right now. Now, reinforcements are coming. You've got a top three recruiting class, but they're not here yet. The linebacker position, you've got a lot of depth there. But if you have an injury, a defensive tackle or corner, it could be a long year. Now, I still don't think it gets to where it got last year, which was, again, a horrid defense. But if they want to see those improvements, they need to stay healthy. And again, they don't need to be a top 10 defense. Just be like in the top 55, 60 teams. And I think pairing that with a top 15 offense, you'll be in a 12-team playoff.
Jacob, we've been previewing a lot of these teams in the SEC, and when you look at LSU's schedule for the upcoming season, we had the AP Top 25 poll drop yesterday. Right now, they have five teams that are in that top 25 who they're going to play this season. But I got to tell you, a lot of them are at home, right? Bama's at home this year. Oklahoma's at home. Ole Miss is at home. They get that USC game to open up the season in Vegas, and then they have a road trip at Texas A&M. When you go through the Tigers' schedule this year, which one do you look at and you think is going to be the hardest one?
All right, so I think there's two games that you absolutely have to win. It's like non-negotiables. The opener against USC. You have lost four straight openers at LSU, going back to 2020 Mississippi State, the next year UCLA on the road, and then back-to-back losses, neutral site games against Florida State. In the last 2 years, you've lost that game and still found a way to win 10 games. But you make it hard on yourself. You have to win that opener. You have to start on the right foot. I mean, you've got eight SEC and two Big Ten opponents this year, right? That is a difficult schedule, but I do agree with you. You get what might be your hardest games at home in Tiger Stadium, probably all going to be night games. That is a positive. The other game that I'm talking about is Texas A&M on October the 26th. Kyle Field and A&M, that's a place that you have not won since 2016. Now, you've won that series since they come back into the SEC in 2012. You've got the overall lead by a lot, but you've had some bad luck at Kyle Field. You have to win that game, because if you lose that one, knowing what you have, Ole Miss, Alabama, Oklahoma, like we're talking about, then I think you're more in the 8-4 conversation and maybe not the 10-2 conversation. So I think those are the two most important games on your schedule, the opener against SC in Vegas and October the 26th on the road, Kyle Field, Texas A&M.
That was a great nugget, Jacob, about the season openers for LSU. I didn't realize that, but you started going through the games, and I'm like, man, they did lose that. They did. So that, you're right. That is a big game to open up the season.
Joe Burrow was the quarterback the last time you won a season opener.
Wow. Yeah, good stuff there. Before I let you go, Jacob, looking big picture, predictions of the season. What do you think happens for LSU this year? What do you think their record is? And then what do you think the ceiling of this team is? If Nussmeier turns out to be another Heisman candidate, if this defense improves, do you think this team's good enough to maybe win the whole thing? Are they good enough to win the SEC? What do you see with LSU this year?
Right, so if I was to say ceiling, I think the absolute best you're going to see from LSU, it would be a crazy run. They'd be 11-1. I think they have some games on their schedule that they are going to maybe even be a small underdog, but they have an opportunity. And really going back to it, it's going to fall on the defense. Can they hold up their end of the bargain? I believe in Garrett Nussmeier. Like, I've seen enough from him to make me believe he's going to be one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC. So I think that ceiling is 11-1. And I think the floor is not too crazy. I think 8-4 would probably be the floor. Like, really, for me, I have LSU kind of living in that 10-2, 9-3 territory, where we have actually a lot of, like, Tennessee, Missouri, some of these other SEC teams, maybe even in Oklahoma, kind of fall into that that land. So I think when you look at LSU, I think they are a 10-2 football team. I think they are right there on the edge of that 9, 10, 11 at-large college football playoff team. Now, depending on what games you win, what games you lose, is 10-2 going to be good enough to get you into the college football playoff will really be the conversation. But I don't think that there's going to be a huge fall-off. I can't see LSU winning less than 8 games. I think Vegas has their total somewhere at 9.5, and so I like them at 10-2, but I think the ceiling would probably be an 11-1. The very, very bottom floor would be 8-4.
All right, very good. Jacob Hester, former LSU running back, host of Off Campus on SiriusXM. Give him a follow on X at JacobHester18 as well, joining us here on Send It In. Jacob, great meeting you. Great stuff, man. Appreciate the insight. Hope to catch up again soon with you at some point.
Absolutely. Sounds good. You have a great rest of your day.
You as well. Jake Pester, great stuff there. As we continue moving on with Send It In, before I look at LSU for the upcoming season, our guy B-Mills with a couple of great questions here coming in. PJ, found the play on the over on SEC teams to win 10-plus games right as your show was ending yesterday. I have since put several units on it at plus 100. I love it so much. The same line for the Big Ten teams is minus 225. B-Mills, I think that is great value. I'm so with you. We've gone through a bunch of these SEC teams. I think over 2.5. Absolutely love it. And then also week one lines, A&M Notre Dame. What do you like in that game? B-Mills, I've been going back and forth. We know Kyle Field is such a great environment. We know what a great home field advantage that they have. I think I'm leaning towards Notre Dame in the game, though, just because when I think about Notre Dame in some of these big games, they've actually played pretty well, right? Ohio State, they've hung tough with them, should have won the game last year. Just the way that they've been playing in some of those big games, I think I'm rolling with the Irish a little bit. Mike Elko's in his first year for Texas A&M, so that worries me in game one to get a big game like that off the bat. I think I'll roll with Notre Dame. It's not an official play for me. That's kind of the way I'm leaning. Thinking about how they've played in those Ohio State games the last couple years, what they were able to do to USC and Caleb Williams last year, I think I'm going to go with Notre Dame. That's probably the way that I would lean, but can't wait for kickoff coming up here. Week one, less than 3 weeks away. As for LSU's schedule, Jacob with a really good nugget there to open up the season about how imperative it is for LSU to start 1-0. They haven't been able to do that since Joe Burrow was the quarterback. I actually really like USC, plus 6.5. You're talking about week one lines. B-Mills, USC is one of my favorite. I like them to possibly win that game, but I like them at plus 6.5. Their schedule, again, they have to play 5 top 25 teams three of those top 25 teams, they do get at home. Ole Miss, Bama, and Oklahoma are all at home, which is big for LSU. They do have that road trip to Texas A&M. I also like the way that their bye weeks are kind of split up throughout the season, right? They get the bye week right before Ole Miss. I think that's key. They get the bye week like they always do before Bama, but it's also in between A&M and it's in between Bama. So I like the way that the bye week set up for LSU. Their win total this year is sitting at 9 games. The over is minus 130. The under is plus 105. Garrett Nussmeier, 20-1 to win the Heisman Trophy this year. Jacob brought up a good point. It's kind of a unicorn. You don't really see guys sit around and wait this long to get their opportunity to be a quarterback. We're in the era now where people aren't playing. They just transfer off to another school. It hasn't been the case for Garrett Nussmeier. LSU's got to replace a lot. Obviously, Jaden Daniels, and they got to place a bunch of their receivers. Their offensive line is going to be really, really good. Defensively, they can't be possibly any worse than they were last year. The overhit in every LSU game last season. Think about that. The overhit. Their offense was that good, and their defense was that bad that the overhit in every game for LSU last season. So defensively, I think they make an improvement. I don't think they make that much of an improvement, though. And even though the offense is going to be good, there's no way it's going to be as good as it was last season. So when I see this win total sitting at 9 wins, you got to play the 5 top 25 teams. You also have tricky road games at Florida and at South Carolina. Even though those teams aren't ranked, both of those teams will be scraping and clawing just to make a bowl game. And they know that LSU game, even though they're going to be underdogs, are going to be games that they absolutely can win. So I think the under plus 105 for LSU is a play that I like. Again, defense will be better. I don't think it'll be crazy better. And then the offense is going to be worse than it was last season. Garrett Nussmeier, I think, is going to be a good player. He's not Joe Burrow, and he's not Jaden Daniels. And the schedule for LSU is tough. USC to open the season, I think there's a chance they could lose that game. I think they lose one or maybe two of those difficult home games that they have versus Bama, A&M, and Ole Miss, or Bama, Oklahoma, and Ole Miss, excuse me, A&M on the road, and then that neutral site game against USC, and then South Carolina and Florida, some tough road games as well. So I go under 9 wins for LSU, plus 105. I like that play for the Tigers. All right, let's keep it moving. Let's talk about the Minnesota Vikings. And boy, do we time this thing good, because we got some breaking news from Adam Schefter that J.J. McCarthy is going to get surgery. So he is out. Sam Darnold's going to be the quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, which is really a big blow for Minnesota. And I'm interested to see if it does change their odds at all at any point. Right now, their win total is sitting at 6.5. The over is minus 150. The under is plus 125. 7.5 wins. Overs plus 150. The under is minus 190. Minnesota's schedule, I mean, if you're watching on Twitch and YouTube right now, you can see it. That is tough. They're 1-point favorites at the Giants to open up the year, right? After that, home against San Francisco, home against Houston, at Green Bay, home against the Jets, bye week, Detroit, the Rams, the Colts. I mean, there is no let up in that schedule for the Minnesota Vikings. I like Kevin O'Connell as a head coach. Hiring Brian Flores last year as his defensive coordinator was a great move. I think they'll be pretty solid on that side of the ball. I kind of like the Vikings long-term as a team, right? You locked up Justin Jefferson. You gave him a contract. Jordan Addison's entering his second year. I think McCarthy's going to be a nice player down the road. But now with his injury and Sam Darnold probably starting a majority of your games for you, I think it's probably going to be a pretty long year for Minnesota. So again, having to react to the news here, with McCarthy at quarterback, maybe taking over at some point during the season, maybe Minnesota was a team that I was considering buying in on like their live in-season win total potentially. But just knowing the uncertainty of McCarthy's status, defense I think will be pretty good this upcoming season. Offense, again, they have some skill position players, but man, their division's really tough with the Lions, the Packers, and the Bears. And then this schedule that they have too, not easy. Going up against the AFC South, having to play against San Francisco as well, it's a tough schedule for the Minnesota Vikings. So I will go probably under 6.5 wins at plus 125. It's not an official play for me. If I had to make a bet, though, I think that would be the way I would go at plus 125. I think now with J.J. McCarthy potentially out too, depending on what the number is, maybe looking at Minnesota to have the worst record in the NFL could be something to look at also. Justin Jefferson the last couple of years has had injury issues. Maybe if they're just off to a terrible start, they decide to potentially sit him. I could see things unraveling a little bit for Minnesota potentially. With this start that they have and with McCarthy being out, it could get really, really ugly. And if Sam Darnold's out there starting a bunch of games, oof, could be a long season for the Vikings. So I will go under their win total at plus 125 for under 6.5 wins. All right, it's teed up Tuesday. Let's talk some golf. FedEx St. Jude Championship this week out in Memphis at a course that I really, really like. TPC Southwind, par 70 golf course, 7,244 yards. This course is very difficult. 94 bunkers, and you have 10 water hazards, pretty much danger lurking on every single hole. It's the FedEx Cup playoffs. We have three legs this week, next week, and then the Tour Championship a couple weeks from now in Atlanta. 70 players teeing it up this week. There's no cut. So every golfer in the field is playing all 4 days, which is obviously important because if you have the best players in the world, maybe can have a bad round one. They can, in an event where they potentially would have missed the cut, they are still available, and then they can go off over the weekend and get themselves into contention. Look at the odds board this week. Very interesting. You've Scottie Scheffler off his gold medal. So again, heavy favorite at plus 350. Xander Schauffele has been playing great golf down the stretch, plus 800. Rory McIlroy, who has great course history here, is 10-1. Colin Morikawa, Ludwig, Aubert, whose games both should fit very well here amongst the favorites as well. Of the favorites that I like the best this week, I'm going with Xander at plus 800. Xander's course history here isn't the best, but man, you better be a good ball striker if you want to play well at TPC Southwind. What I like about it is that it really doesn't favor one particular golfer. Longer hitters have had success here. Shorter hitters have had success here. The one consistent, though, you better be a good ball striker and you better be accurate because you could hit tee shots in the water. You could hit approach shots in the water. So you got to be accurate. You got to be on your game. There's a reason they call it TPC Southwind because it gets windy at this course as well. So you better be able to deal with some conditions. Xander's overall game is just so strong. He's such a good ball striker, great iron player. So I will take him at plus 800. I'll also take Colin Morikawa at 12-1. You're talking about one of the best iron players in the world. Colin's had an awesome season. He just hasn't been able to cap it off yet with a victory. I think he's got a good chance this week. So I'll take Xander and Colin as my two favorites. Then other guys that I'm looking at, Sung Jae-im at 33-1. Last 2 years, Sung Jae has played here. He's finished in the top 10. He's been on an absolute tear the last two and a half months of the season. A very good iron player as well. So Sung Jae-im, guy with good course history, guy with good form, and his game should match this course very well. I think 33-1 is a good price on him. And then finally, Corey Connors at 35-1. The Canadian is another guy that I'm looking at. Corey Connors and Colin Morikawa are kind of the same way for me this week. Both guys are great ball strikers. They're great iron players. They're extremely accurate. It all comes down to the putter with both of those guys. If Morikawa and or Corey Connors are both making putts, both of those guys will be in contention this week. If they're missing putts, it's going to be a long day for them. But usually the statistic that you want this week is approach play. If you got good iron players, good ball strikers, that's the way to contend at TPC Southwind. So that's why my card is filled with them this week. I like Xander 8-1, Colin 12-1, Sung Jae-im 33-1, and Corey Connors 35-1, the four golfers that I am rolling with this week in Memphis. All right, let's go to Mono Making Money. Check in with our guy, Matt Horner, standing by, getting ready to give us some picks in Major League Baseball. Matt, before we get to your card today, what is the BetQL model like for today in baseball?
Yeah, so we're going to go the over in the Dodgers and the Brewers game tonight. Taking a look, they've got Gavin Stone on the mound for the Dodgers. 3.71 ERA, 4.09 expected ERA, 4.22 expected FIP. So some regression obviously coming his way. And we know the Brewers have been really good against righties this year, 109 WRC+. Plus. And then you take a look at Colin Ray on the mound for the Brewers. Supreme regression candidate, 3.38 ERA, 4.75 expected ERA, 4.34 expected FIP. The Dodgers with a 114 WRC plus against righties as well. So two elite offenses, two regression candidates, and the model likes the over at 9 tonight. That's our five-star play.
All right, very, very good. Matt, what about yourself? You've been rolling with these best bets. What do you like today in baseball?
Yeah, we've been killing it recently. I've hit 6 straight locks of the day. Check that out over at BetQL.com. We each have our lock of the day over there. I'm going with the San Francisco Giants tonight on the money line against the Atlanta Braves. Atlanta starting Charlie Morton tonight. 40 years old, and I think the fatigue is starting to get to him at this point in the season. His July was terrible. 6.21 ERA. He's given up 11 home runs over 29 innings. The barrel rate, 10.1%. That's sky high compared to his career average of 6.2%. Giants offense isn't as great against righties. I admit that, but I still think they could put up some runs on him tonight. He's just heading in the wrong direction. Looking at the other side, Kyle Harrison, below average pitcher, 4.72 expected ERA, 4.28 expected FIP. But when you take a look at his home and road splits, it's a drastic difference. At home at Oracle Park, 3.23 expected ERA, 3.84 expected FIP. On the road, that goes up to 4.94 ERA and a 5.06 expected FIP. Home run rates are drastically different as well, 0.65 at home and 2.15 on the road. So here in Oracle Park, he's a fly ball pitcher, 62% career fly balls for his outs. And at home, he's just a much better pitcher. As we know, Oracle Park, a pitcher-friendly park. So give me the Giants tonight. I think Harrison can have much more success than Morton. These two pitchers going in the opposite direction. So Giants here at around -103. I really like that price.
All right, very good. So Giants are the side that you like tonight. How about any home run player prop bets that you like for today?
Yeah, so my favorite offense of the day overall is the Minnesota Twins. I've been backing the Twins a lot recently. Their offense has gotten hot in the second half of the season. They're starting to get more healthy. Byron Buxton is, once again, yesterday he was pulled from the game. Some of these guys just can't seem to stay healthy, but when they're actually in the game, they produce quite a lot. So if Buxton plays tonight, I would look to him. They're facing the Kansas City Royals and Seth Lugo. Lugo is a guy, I think I've talked about him on here plenty of times before. He's like in the Cy Young race, 272 ERA, but he has massive regression coming his way in pretty much every factor. 395 expected ERA, 393 expected FIP, 78.5 strand rate, 260 BABIP, like everything going the opposite his direction. Love the Twins tonight. Byron Buxton, Royce Lewis, another guy I'd take a look at, and Matt Wallner. All these guys I think can have success at the plate against Lugo tonight.
All right, very good. Matt, we see you rocking your Chicago Bears hat quite a bit here on the show. We're talking about the NFC North. We dove into the Minnesota Vikings today. Who do you think wins that NFC North division? Detroit, Green Bay, Chicago, or Minnesota? Who do you like?
Yeah, so I usually don't like to take the chalk, but for this division, I am. I like the Detroit Lions a lot this year. In fact, I put a wager on them to win the Super Bowl. I think their window is wide open. This is an extremely talented team. The offensive line, probably the best in football.
No doubt. They've got
ridiculous talent on the offensive line, and that's where I start when I take a look at a lot of these futures, is how good is the offensive line, and Detroit is right there with the very best of them. They've got talent everywhere. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs, who I also know just had a little bit of an injury, but I think he should be fine. And there's just talent everywhere. The defense, I think, will be improved with the additions of DJ Reader. Carlton Davis is in the secondary now. And they just have the talent. In this division, I just think they're so much better than a lot of these other teams. I know Green Bay is going to be right there. My Bears, I kind of like the under 8.5 for our wins this year, quite honestly. And the Vikings, you just talked about it, I don't really like them at all. So give me Detroit here. I think they're going to be a Super Bowl contender. I think they can win the Super Bowl this year and come out of the NFC. I just love the talent. It all depends. Can Jared Goff get the job done with that offensive line, with that talent? I think they can do it.
Totally agree. And I love them for the regular season, because you mentioned Goff. They only have to play 3 games outdoors this year in the regular season. So I think that's a big advantage for Detroit. Like it quite a bit. Matt Horner joining us here on Model Making Money. Send it in. Matt, appreciate the time, man. Good luck tonight. We'll catch up again soon.
Sure. Thanks, BJ.
Absolutely. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, time to wrap the show with PJ's plays. We're going to add another play to the car because B-Mills is reminding us, Scotty, top 5, another lock. PJ, can't forget it. B-Mills, thank you for being a savior. Now that you've wrote it in the chat, it's going to hit because it does. Every time you write it in the chat, it hits. So B-Mills, Well done, Scotty. Top five, you know, is an auto play for us. Only a couple more weeks before we can do it. The season's almost over. Like that play. Going streaking. We've hit three in a row, I believe. Ketel Marte is going to be our guy tonight against Austin Gomber. Marte, 8-for-21 in his career against Gomber, batting .298 this season. And you know what? He's starting to creep up on Shohei a little bit for NL MVP. Marte will be our guy today. Prop lock, Vladdy Akash is another one for us. Today, we're going to Corey Seager. Over 1.5 hits at +160. Seager is 4-for-8 in his career against Cutter Crawford on a 3-game hit streak. We will take Corey Seager over 1.5 hits today. Dog of the day is going to be the Cardinals, +115 against the Reds. Hunter Green's been excellent for the Reds. Eric Fetty going today for St. Louis. I think Fetty and the Cardinals get the job done. Shawnee Sharpe's going with Jonathan Cannon over 15.5 outs today for his White Sox. And my best bet, elite pitching matchup tonight in Detroit, George Kirby against Tarik Skubal. It's -110. Whenever Skubal's at home, it feels like Detroit should be favored, yet it's a pick'em tonight at -110. I'll ride with Kirby in Seattle in a pick'em. Once again, our favorite plays for today, Ketel Marte is our guy in going streaking. Corey Seager over 1.5 hits is our prop lock. Cardinals +115 is our dog of the day. Give me the Mariners in a pick'em at -110. Thanks again to Jacob Hester, Matt Horner. If you guys missed any part of the show, we got you covered. Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Tomorrow we're talking Chicago Bears, Ole Miss Rebels. We'll see you then.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This NBA season, every shot you take with Fanatics Sportsbook puts points on the board. Earn up to 10% fan cash on your bets, win or lose. So even if your bet misses, you're still scoring fan cash, which unlocks exclusive rewards like authentic apparel, game tickets, and meeting legends at Fanatics events. Make the switch and turn every bet into a bucket with Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-522-4700. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. Mm. You can make a budget for your wallet. Ooh. To help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
find
for you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.